gmaris. Nuşi gombekalı ya dzimba zane nemiş. Koreste dize yu tok basa. Bu kadar yu ta yu mebran. Tati çoçin. Mega
Sorry. No. 15 minutes late. That in there. Are there? Well, some questions, yes.
Your Holiness, how is it possible to go about living in everyday life, working at a job, paying bills, taking care of family and so on, without grasping?
Without grasping?
Grasping. So the question is, how do you understand the idea of grasping here? So for example, in relation to others, if in your engagement with others, if the engagement is tainted by forms of grasping such as strong attachment, craving or aversion or anger and so on, then that form of grasping is undesirable. But on the other hand, when you are interacting with other sentient beings, with the awareness of that other person's needs or suffering or pain, then you need to fully engage with that other person's pain and be compassionate and be engaged with that. So there is some form of attachment, some form of engagement. So in fact, Buddhist masters have used the term, the very word attachment, in describing the quality of compassion for others. For example, in the salutation verse of Haribhadra's commentary on the Perfection of Wisdom text, there he talks about compassion that is attached to other sentient beings. And similarly, I cited Nagarjuna's text where Nagarjuna says that in the person in whom the realization of emptiness has arisen, then attachment for other sentient beings will spontaneously arise.
Huh?
How do you define true happiness? So in the context of Four Noble Truths, when we are talking about suffering and happiness, then the notion of happiness is also not just from the positive characterization of a state, but also negatively characterized as a state that is free from suffering and its causes. So we are talking about a notion of happiness that is more lasting, so the lasting happiness.
Then generally, perhaps, happiness, usually I sort of consider happiness means deep satisfaction. So, for example, some physical hardship or some suffering can bring satisfaction. So such things is, in that category, still something positive. So then satisfaction on the level of physical satisfaction and the mental satisfaction, now here, mainly mental level satisfaction. So as I mentioned earlier, physical suffering, physical hardship can bring mental satisfaction. So in this sense, because in this context, happiness more mental level satisfaction.
Your Holiness, would you please explain?
Perhaps either furthermore, mental level satisfaction with help of awareness, then good. Now sometimes out of ignorance, some mental satisfaction also is possible. Isn't it? That's very temporary, short-sighted.
Your Holiness, would you please explain the method and the uses of analytic meditation?
Kasa.
Would you please explain the method of how to use analytic meditation? Analytic meditation.
Analytical?
No.
Oh, did you
hear? And this, the topic will come later. If suffering is caused by mind, what is one to do when facing environmentally difficult situations externally that are hard to change? For example, if a spouse or a father is an alcoholic, should the partner or the child stay and seek happiness despite the partner's drinking, or take the children and seek life without the drinker?
The
line here, the suffering being caused by the mind, is too general, because even in the Buddha, we accept the presence of mind. So the cause of suffering is not just the mind itself, but it's an undisciplined, untamed mind. Of course, here it depends upon how you define what you mean by happiness here.
In general sense, of course, I think there are external conditions.
Yeah.
External, of course, so that's
factor. So generally speaking, there are, of course, conditions that are external and some conditions that are internal. So then, of course, one has to think, what is the best course of action? If there is no inherent self, what part of the mind transmigrates?
This
will come later. How do you overcome the sadness and anger from a difficult childhood?
I think generally, I think the sixth marriage.
So this we'll discuss that in the context of the perfection of forbearance. Your Holiness, you said that we relate to events based on our perceptions, not what is reality, that we need to differentiate between our reality and the real, our perception and the reality. How will we know the reality and not to be influenced by our perceptions.
Mm-hmm. This morning when I used the word the reality and appearance, that is within the context of two truths.
Two truths.
But generally, I think one event, one thing, if you look from one angle, you cannot see the full picture. One event, in order to know that, you have to look from various different angles. Even if it's a physical thing, from one dimension, you cannot see the fuller picture. The three dimensions, or four dimensions, or six dimensions. Then you get more clearer picture about the reality. So in order to know the reality, you have to look from various angles and from various dimensions. Otherwise, from one dimension appears something, but there are always possible gap, that appearance and the reality. Like that. So therefore, the investigation is very, very essential. So through investigation, the gap, appearance and reality can reduce. Only through investigation.
Earlier when I was talking about the gap between perception of reality, it was within the context of the teachings of the two truths.
The karesunda and the tungeg zawa nyomong zawa timu tenzi that the nungzu zamlaya chasha che tamarjin de shin zane that the toya the nungzu tenashin tera nayarema that zaju she yundu and now that to mevachi.
Because we were discussing this in the context of trying to understand what lies at the root of our suffering, and particularly the root of the afflictions, which is a grasping at true existence of things. And once you recognize that this grasping, the ignorance, grasping at true existence of things, engage with events in the world primarily on the level of perception and on the level of appearances, and then grasp onto it, and one comes to recognize that this does not accord with the actual reality, then one will be able to then gradually undermine the grip of that grasping. So that's what we were talking about.
That's the translation.
So now we will read from the text.
So we
were talking about the qualities that are relevant on the part of the teacher, and particularly a teacher who is going to give instruction to the students on the basis of the actual instruction of the Buddha, all of which are aimed at bringing about the realization of our temporary, immediate aim of gaining a fortunate rebirth into a higher realm, and the long-term and ultimate aim of attainment of liberation. And since this is the teaching, the person who is imparting the instruction needs to possess the qualities that are necessary for imparting such actual instruction. And so here, generally, and because the quality and the effectiveness of the teaching would, you know, to a large extent depend upon the quality of the teacher. For example, when we choose a school, to a large extent, the quality of a school is really determined by the quality of the professors and the teachers who are working in that university or school. Similarly here, the effectiveness of the teaching to some extent is going to be determined by the quality of the teacher. So generally speaking, the Buddha has outlined in various texts the kind of qualities that are necessary to the specific level of instruction. So whether it is the master of a Vinaya practice or whether it is the master of a Vajrayana teachings, highest yoga tantra, in all of these cases there are specific qualities that are mentioned by the Buddha. And here in the Lamrim context, the teacher that we are looking for is someone who is able to impart instructions that would encompass the practices of all the three persons of all the three levels of capacities. The key qualities that are mentioned are the 10 qualities that are listed in Maitreya's ornament of Mahayana Sutras. So, in Tsongkhapa's text, which is on page 71 of volume 1, having cited a particular stanza from Maitreya's ornament of Mahayana Sutras, then Tsongkhapa writes the following. He says that it is said, those who have not disciplined themselves have no basis for disciplining others. Therefore, gurus who intend to discipline others' mind must first have disciplined their own. How should they have been disciplined? It is not helpful for them to have done just any practice and then have the result designated as a good quality of knowledge. They need a way to discipline the mind that accords with the general teachings of the Buddha. The three precious trainings are definitely such a way. So this is quite a powerful statement, and Tsongkhapa is saying that the way in which the master should have disciplined his or her own mind is according to the teachings of the three higher trainings. So since the instruction we are talking about, so since instruction that we are talking about by which the students are being led to is instructions primarily related to the attainment of liberation, and since the principal practices and that constitute the path to liberation are really the practices of three higher trainings. So therefore, on the part of the teacher who is giving such instruction, must himself or herself embody the knowledge of the three higher trainings. And since the teacher is imparting an instruction that is not just for attainment of liberation but also attainment of full enlightenment of the Buddhahood, therefore one needs to present a path that encompasses the practices of bodhicitta, great compassion and so on. Therefore the qualities relevant on the part of the teacher includes also having compassion and awakening mind.
다 인도 디 노디게 섬세베 좀 도 차디 하래. 자 디니 인도자네 시베 자와디 가사 장신체 에 체기 단신디 시디 샤 자 디니 인도자네 한테 디 신인 생유 수 인도자네 러브 숨 난게 싫어 걸러버디 가사 담에 좀 싫었지. 다 텔레 수도 에 시주기냐 뭐 치기 담에 또 고개 인도자네 디니 또 자 수도 자도 디야 다 섬세베 내가 차디 하래.
So, and one of the qualities listed in Maitreya's text is realization of the suchness or realization of ultimate truth. And this partly reflects a kind of a philosophical view of the author, because the presentation is according to the mind-only school, where a distinction is drawn between selflessness of person and ultimate reality. So the wisdom in the context of three higher trainings is identified with the wisdom of no self, and the additional quality, realization of suchness, refers to the mind-only school's understanding of realization of selflessness of phenomena. So, when identifying the qualities relevant on the part of the student, Tsongkhapa identifies the three main qualities, being objective, endowed with the faculty of intelligence, and having the interest. So, when searching for understanding the nature of reality, objectivity of a standpoint is very important, or the objective stance is very important, because otherwise one will be swayed by one's own biases and wishes. So therefore, it will come in the way of actually understanding the actual reality. So the second quality is the being endowed with intelligence, and intelligence here refers to critical intelligence, which has the ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what is correct and what is incorrect. And so the kind of intelligence we are talking about here is that of a critical inquiring type. And this suggests that at the beginning, one needs to have a form of skepticism, a kind of a doubt. Because when you have doubt and skepticism, then this will lead to questioning. And when you go through questioning, then there is a real possibility of leading to a deeper understanding of the fact. And therefore, when you, on the other hand, if you approach right from the beginning with a single-pointed faith, then it wouldn't open up the question. So having that skepticism and a critical intelligence becomes very important.
저는 유한다 숨 대충도 망체 다 망체로 소리 가다 그래서 시송 위아래 드리는 자네 치르제 뒤지디 오분 넘고 되니제 독주시지 드리는 뭐 인디 숨들라 제작하려래 제제디 시에네 그거 가려래 태국 가서 마인베 푹 닝구 가려래. 나 디디 떡수 신지 보도가. 디디 떡수 젠이 이 흉들 터서 죽여야지. 자, 디디 메인주잖아. 가서 쉬시 송대야지. 계속 그래도.
So, and because of this, if you look at many of the classical Indian texts, an emphasis has been made upon identifying what is the subject matter of a particular text, what is the purpose of gaining the understanding of that subject matter, and what is the long-term, ultimate purpose of gaining such knowledge, and then what is the interrelation between these three factors. And the point here is that because these texts are written for persons with critical faculty, and then a person with critical faculty, when they engage with the text, they're going to first of all check what is the main subject matter of the text, and what is the benefits and purposes, aims of gaining that knowledge, and what is the long-term final objective of these subject matter and so on.
Yeah. 저사람이 흉기 타냐셔다 그래. 아니 원두 대배진다. 원두 추지진다. 세게 치코레 고아디 여도와. 추지진다. 스스로 소수도배. 추지진다. 싫어보이네. 나티키도.
So, therefore, even in the text, we have expressions that relate to the different ways in which people engage with the text. One is the those of slightly inferior faculty approach the text primarily from more of a faith and devotion, and those of a kind of a higher critical faculty of mind approaches a text more from the point of view of understanding the reality that is presented.
Yeah.
And then the Tsongkhapa explains the actual process by which one relies upon a spiritual mentor on the level of one's mind, what state of mind should one adopt, and also in actual practice, in physical action.
That is something this one.
So we read from page 86 towards the end of the explanation of the process by which one must rely upon a spiritual mentor, particularly through action. Tsongkhapa writes the following. This is third paragraph. He raises a question. We must practice in accordance with the Guru's words. Then what if we rely on the Gurus and they lead us to an incorrect path or employ us in activities that are contrary to the three vows? Should we do what they say?
Tell me, do you do it? So many people are talking about it. Kunshu Tin Le Jiang, Gaichola, Tata Tumbrichola, Migiwichola, Mitumbrichola, She Sung Pe, Te Kowala, Minye Kueso.
So then Tsongkhapa responds to this query that he raises, and he says that he writes, with respect to this, Guna Prabha's Sutra on the Discipline states, if the abbot instructs you to do what is not in accord with the teachings, refuse. Also the Cloud of Jewel Sutra states, with respect to virtuous act, with respect to virtue, act in accord with the Guru's words, but do not act in accord with the Guru's words with respect to non-virtue. Therefore, you must not listen to non-virtuous instructions. And then he writes, the 12th birth story, referring to Jataka tales, clearly gives us the meaning of not engaging in what is improper.
Yeah. Pena lama silim re. Lama silim wa, ane simzame taanza badangi re. Ane choji umabe taanza badangi re. Ta choji, ta lama mangu yuwa nane, ta lama ka so di silim badangi re. Re de, ane silim wa rangi bada, lama so yi ba kyunze da nane, ane lame ta tawa, simzame tawa di, ane nyamshinangi ya wawa. So, George is hungry, Umabe Taraka, and Pior. Some of the Doha.
So, to give an example, for example, with respect to Master Atisha, among all the teachers, his principal teacher was whom he considered to be the most important teacher was Sirlingpa. And Sirlingpa was particularly revered by Atisha for his teachings on the bodhicitta and awakening mind. However, Sirlingpa's own philosophical standpoint represented that of mind-only school. So just because Sirlingpa happened to be Atisha's most important guru did not mean that Atisha would follow his guru's instructions in every field. So Atisha, while being a devout student of Sirlingpa, when it came to philosophical understanding of the Buddha's teaching, he adopted the Madhyamaka, the middle way school, rather than his teacher's mind-only standpoint.
That any Jungzu Dodu the Temba Las, any Jungzu got a throw lot of Kawas, that Jungzu made it joy, because I choose. Joy should say, many are not to be the Sungari. That tell a lot of Kawas at the teaching that.
So, and then towards the end of this section, Tsongkhapa presents a summary of the manner in which one needs to relate to one's spiritual mentor. And here he divides that section into two parts, the actual process itself and refutation of misunderstanding or misconceptions.
Any tuning and joy did he, toss up to the chat, she said. Then a tunzungi, and it said, Sergi Wada. She water, she need to get your jaya. That did say some of the content. Tunzungi Yamidi, Chazanji, Gagali of Goyachi. And a ten she gundu, dende as she unduzane. Tunzungi Yamlingi, tuning Yamlin a porter. Tuning Yamlingi, Tunzung Yamlin a porter. Don't she subsidy, but need to jetty.
So, in the first section that deals with the actual process, Tsongkhapa explains according to two parts. One is the what needs to be done during the actual formal sitting meditations, and what activities should one engage in during the post-meditation period. And during the actual formal sitting session here, with respect to this proper reliance on a spiritual teacher, the main practices that are presented are primarily in the format of the seven limb practices and also six preparatory practices. And then he explains what kind of activities should one engage in during the post-meditation periods as well, which would include maintaining a kind of a balance habit with relation to one's food, diet, and also learning to utilize even one's sleep as period towards enhancement of dharma practice, and then guarding the gateway of the sense, doors of the senses, and living with greater sense of awareness. So these are the main after-session practices. And the point here is to engage in one's dharma practice in such a way so that both the formal sitting sessions and post-meditation sessions each can complement each other, so that the periods during the formal sitting sessions will enhance virtuous activities during the post-meditation periods, and the practices and activities during the post-meditation periods will enhance the quality of your meditation during the formal sitting practices, so that each complement each other, so that you find a way in which the entire 24 hours of your day can be utilized towards the accumulation of merits and also enhancement of virtue. So in the second outline, when he talks about refuting misunderstandings pertaining to meditation, the main point Tsongkhapa is making is the importance of analytic meditation. So the Tibetan equivalent of the English term meditation is gom, bhavana in Sanskrit. What this indicates or suggests is a form of deliberate cultivation and familiarization. Generally, khompa is habituation or becoming familiar, but gompa is an active verb which indicates an agency who is deliberately involved in cultivating a particular form of familiarization.
This one, that. That tells me that I think it's the most mother. Rang some you want to do, some you want to do. So, at the day in the Zane, any that to me, me do not. I think nobody from as soon as we wake up in early morning or late morning, I think some of you may be late morning, but when you get up, I think nobody. At that moment, you see, they expect, or today, I should have more trouble. I should have more sort of fight, or more anger. I think nobody feels like that. Instead, from that moment, today, I wish very peaceful day, very leisure day, and happy day, that kind of thing. Yet, there's many problems. So on this planet, I think 6 billion entire human being, nobody wants trouble. But there are plenty of trouble. Most of this trouble, essentially man-made trouble. Clear. So, one way, nobody wants trouble. At the same time, a lot of man-made problem or trouble. So there is the problem because of that. The point is, we want something good, but our mind fully dominated by because of the afflicted emotion. Afflicted emotion out of ignorance, all levels of ignorance, ultimate ignorance. And also some leisure, because of that. the grosser level of ignorance. Simply, you see, do not know the reality. Just look from one angle and then decide, oh, this is bad, this is good. Like that. So now here, meditation means try to control our mind. That means our mind should not let dominant by ignorance or by this afflicted emotion. So just wish, oh, my mind should not dominant by ignorance or afflicted emotion. Emotion, very powerful, destructive emotion, very, very powerful, won't listen our wish. So only thing is, we have to cultivate countermeasure, all these afflicted emotion. That's the only way to reduce the afflicted emotion. So in order to countermeasure, or in order to develop mental the countermeasure, we cannot buy from shop or those sophisticated machine, you see, cannot produce these things. So only through mental effort. Now that is the meaning of meditation. Like that. So the familiarization about these counterforce, through that way, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, even sometimes life after life, the effort still continue, life after life. Then gradually these counterforce, because of habituation, you see, gradually increase. The positive side increase, the negative side automatically reduce, because these two things cannot remain together. It's contradictory. Like that. That's just like
So, in this certain part of the text here, Tsongkhapa therefore makes the following point. He says that the problem with us is that we are dominated by our mind, and our course of actions and everything is dictated by our mind. However, our mind is in turn dominated and dictated by the afflictions, so it is under the power of the afflictions. And so because of this, although what we truly wish for is happiness, but we end up, you know, enduring suffering. And that's and this is the reason why this is the case.
Yeah. Then, lo motivate cha diye, kaso urpigi ko tapchuk cha doa, ko yin ring do kambar bata. Then, di nyambi cha di, then the shini gozu wo, ko shuk shinju doa. Then, nyambi cha di, kanda shuk shinju yin ba yin duza ni, then ko miksege pe suwa cha ni, kumji ten ni, kumba ten kwa chik cha. Cha chik ni, Midincho, the Yazoda, the Pangja, but a new one which shot the Namda Mambo. Doa, Kanako, the Gabro Katishu, the Gup Trading. Ranzo Nyomo Mongo, she, Ranzo Lepe, Ranlepe, Ning Yers of Doa, and a deshaus lemna, Timbe Tin Sutu. Shadans love you, Mijin begin, singing, Rang Jogan, the number shall do. When is it totally loose, Stoa? Round a pant of it. The pamper surgery, that only a new image, Doa. So that's an easy that Benumdu Bendamanda, Chigatane, then you won't get image, show you in the sun, eh? The Nyambu Chadi, and you more. Nimis tone, lo chibuchi, Yomu dojari, Yomu dojari, said there, chig, lo chibu, lucky mara. Then Yomu, so, any no chile, take you. di du le chi gen, nang gen, ta du su mang gu chi gen. Ka su zai chen, ta tel nye mu tan nang che wai chi xiao duwa. Sa di ni yin du san ne hu nian bu chua di di, ko nam rang mang bu chi gen, ta xie gu duwa. Nam rang mang bu chi gen cha tuan ne, eni ni mung le ya da nye mu tan guai chi. Sa di ni yin du san ne, zhom ten de rang ga xia xia ne, ben na da, chu wu di li xiong san de song ni, Namrang Mangu Shivu Ji Sundaya Daga Nanshingi Luru Yaksara Sawa Diyadigi Da Dreba Di Yangdrichan Zangyan Diyadigi Shung Mangu Dindrichan Zaya Kwaya Di Drupcha Dujie Gyugi Mudu Yasende Mera Soya Drupcha Dagaray Mada Shina Kepduwa Nidhi Malam Kemi Diyaji Marwa Da Kho Kamda Mera Raha Raha Sama Chigi 그 탑시 몽골지기 때문에 그 연구하시면 인도산에 치료도 남지기 싫어 폐국도 와. 다 달라야 단다 기크도 뒤숭샤. 퇴중이 싫어. 아, 퇴중이 싫어. 주전에 당연하다. 라메만 대세점이 태워도 찍. 소수 빼실 때 태워도 니. 되리지기 다음에 당연하다. 들리들이 이물이 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 쌉니. 단다 몽골지 시에다가 퇴중이 싫어. 다 퇴배 된다라. 양내 양도 삼다. 잡아줘, 잡아줘. 다 들려 배지 누구 시기권에 잡아야 배지 나와요. 중이지 뭐. 아니, 자제를 해주고. 아니, 퇴배 해주고. 퇴주지 뭐. 어, 다 제일 꼬르지. 다 들라. 배는 셈, 시드, 시드, 장비 등이 뭐. 니 중이 뭐. 셈, 계지계지 교주위에다가 계지계지 교주위에 차네 그 셈리야 지금 넘주로 만나면다 교주야 여대버디 그 주님 말이 주님 집에 삼직다 다데네 셈그 남도 지 어레 다 셈그 나라 지 유달라 신진 착벌로지 유달라 다른 로직 다 유달라 다른 로데다 유달라 다 되나 그 세월로 니고디 겐데세 도와 지다베나 차단이 있으려고 이제 배제를 겐데서 배제를 쳐도 치고 하래 제니 다와 대주 배제 순위 이르샤 샘그나라 겐데 유대오디 베나 침모볼이야 겐데 요하래 베나 사회를 보다 장애를 보다 겐데 유대 순위지다 다 순위 뒤토하네 다 세미나로 게다 여다다 디디기 타네 다 심지 누버로 야 숙처로 심베이나 아니 디 간다기베 지시지 마도 숙총도 돼야 다 디디 페이지 딜리링만도 아 다 세미랑랑게 뜨다 게 다 진대게 다 그 틈비 틈비게 소를 다 가다 세미 똑바르리리리 거라 지 그걸 규제 된 소유자네 그 르 능주로 만다마다 이거요. 르 뉴어로 만다 숙실 두고요다. 그래서 제가 페이지 대비지 벌써 좋으면로. 대네 셈 남도 르르 그걸 제대로 만다마다 이거다. 다 뒤뒤 저지를 뭐. 페이지 샤 좋을 수 없게. 다 뒤뒤 그걸 셈 드라마 이제 셰버 체네. 다 Sim Tue Digi Yunguyeva, Sim Matue Dungan Yunguyeva, the Sheva Cheney, Tue Chadi, any contestas, Quanakon, the Begu Yuva, the Sheva Chet, any Gimsa Samtan, and Totiadi, Pesha Tedu's worry. Now, what did the Bukone, Yang Yang Samu Zane, that simply never need the Achi. But does it gather up a touch of it? Touch at the Mystic's touch of member, Social Samtan, Gimsen Dilitane. 다 타치를 니주들이 삼천대하다디 성주군님은 이때부터 지도 퇴배자는 이것이 닌더 찬도 수시 럽다네 삼천대하다 삼대 총화이 남주 로이 태송 채우르쇼 신 송샤 들으샤 다 성주군 싫어 님은 이때하다 다 때부시부샤 다지네 성주군 님은 이때한테라 아니 제식도 권배 권바싱 윤두자네 아니 르베르베리 공중교인은 똑같이 돼야지 디차라리 사다 디디 인도 내가 토마시지로 롭송치 돼야지 이 직지도가 Tene pardu yane yandu sambe ta samjung zhuwa ishtuwa. Tinyu li pezi chakum zhuwa isha. Zhuwa chakum zhuwa. Ta kumjungi, ta chaba shibu mi chiba. Chaydun la, mikba tse chikdu shani, ini kumji daya chiki. Ta di jokho wang chukya. Wa tere mungu duwa, ramyan ra. Wa ta zhita sumbu tere ma.
So when we compare our own states of mind, we will recognize that the undisciplined and untamed states of mind are those aspects of the mind which we are very familiar with. And because of long habituation over many lifetimes, they tend to be very powerful, and they're also quite spontaneous and natural that when they arise. Therefore, when we cultivate the direct antidotes against them, in a sense, we are learning a new set of skills. We are learning actually a new way of thinking, a new way of being. Therefore, initially, these antidotal forces are going to be very weak, and because we are learning something kind of quite new. But however, over time, as we cultivate, our habituation will increase, and as our habituation to the antidotal forces become more and more strengthened, then their opposite, which are the undisciplined states of mind, including the afflictions and the afflictive emotions, they will come to decrease in their force. And that's the way in which the processes work. And secondly, one thing that needs to be done is also to recognize that how, when we talk about afflictions, we are talking about a tremendously diverse phenomenon. And afflictions are, in some sense, very opportunistic. Wherever they find their ways, they can manifest themselves in many different ways. So we have to understand, first of all, the various ways in which the afflictions take their form and how they tend to appear to us. For example, if you look at attachment and anger, attachment, we see it as kind of a friend. Attachment is that quality of our mind which tends to attract others towards us. So it helps us bring together the conditions that we deem helpful for our survival. Similarly, anger and hatred tends to be those mental states that help us deal with obstacles that we don't find desirable, and they are there to help us protect against these obstacles that we don't want. So anger and hatred arises as almost like a kind of a trusted friend there to protect us. So we can see how, you know, first of all, afflictions are so diverse, and secondly, how kind of ingenious ways in which afflictions can appear to us. And so therefore, in correspondence to this diversity of afflictions, we also need to cultivate a very rich and diverse antidotes as well, corresponding to them. And therefore, for example, Buddha, when he gave the Dharma, he taught 84,000 heaps of teachings. And similarly, if you look at the commentarial literature that help explain the Buddha's teachings, for example, Nagarjuna and his disciples and many other great Indian masters, there are so many extensive treatises. But the ultimate aim of all of these teachings, including the Buddha's sutras, are really one, which is to help us deal with untamed state of mind and bring about its transformation. Because the afflictions that disturb our mind are so diverse, and they can manifest in so many different forms, therefore, and also they can manifest differently to different individuals, therefore, to suit the need of all the diverse practitioners, and also to to come up with the appropriate antidote against specific forms of afflictions. And there are all these diverse teachings that we find. And So not only must we understand the afflictions themselves, secondly, we have to understand their functions. Thirdly, we have to understand their causes, both internal and external conditions that give rise to these afflictions. And on that basis, we need to then cultivate these antidotes within us, because even after simply recognizing the destructiveness of the afflictions, if we just simply make a wish that may they go away, that approach is not going to be effective at all. So this simple recognition of their destructiveness is not adequate. We need to deliberately cultivate the antidotes within us. Now, how do we cultivate these antidotes within us? We do so through different levels of understanding. The level of understanding derived from learning, level of understanding derived through critical reflection, and level of understanding derived through meditative practice. So the first level of understanding really arises on the basis of either listening to a teaching from a teacher or on the basis of oneself studying the text and so on. So you cultivate the intellectual understanding of the various characteristics of the afflictions and the appropriate antidotes and so on. Then on the basis of that understanding, you then need to critically reflect upon it repeatedly and deepen your understanding so that you arrive at a point where there is a genuine sense of conviction in their efficacy. So at that point, you have arrived at the second level of understanding, the understanding derived through critical reflection. And on these two levels, analytic approach is the primary form of meditation. So the meditation takes particularly an analytic form on these two levels. And then, so now when you are engaging in the critical reflection and using analytic method, analytic meditation, then one needs to use also forms of reasoning, taking into account particularly the four principles, and which are the four avenues by which we engage with reality. So this is the principle of nature, a principle of dependence, principle of function, and on the basis of these three principles, the principle of evidence. So to give an example, with relation to the nature of mind, we can say that the fact that mind is a phenomenon that has, whose essential characteristic is that of knowing and luminosity, that is a principle of nature. Similarly, within the mind, all the mental states are by their very nature subject to change. They change moment on moment by moment basis. They are transient, and that is again principle of nature. So we take and furthermore, in the mental domain, we also see there is a law of contradiction, opposing forces. For example, we know that hatred and anger towards someone is contradictory to a loving kindness and compassion towards that person. So these two opposing forces, they contradict each other. Similarly, so there are many different... So for example, even in the external world, we see opposing forces like heat and cold. They oppose each other so that they cannot coexist without one undermining the other. Similarly, in the mental world, you will have opposing forces. And the fact that there is this law of opposing forces is again part of nature. So that belongs to the principle of nature. So you take these into account, and then on the basis of that, then when you apply cause and effect relations, then you are using the principle of dependence. And then on the basis of recognizing these causal relations, then we will also come to understand specific functions of different mental states. Each of them have their own separate functions. Then here we are taking into account the principle of function of, and then on the basis of these three principles, nature, dependence, and function, then we can use the logic of evidence. Given this, such and such will follow. Given this, such and such will be the consequence. So on that basis, we will come to be able to apply the understanding of these principles and therefore apply the correct antidotes against the various aspects of the untamed mind and bring about the knowledge. So on the basis of this analytic meditation, when you then move on to the third level of understanding, there the primary approach will be more absorptive meditation, where there is less analysis, but primarily the primary approach is to maintain a single-pointed statement, you know, placement of mind upon the concluded fact, and on that basis, as your single-pointed experience of that fact becomes more and more evident, then one will move finally to the understanding derived from meditative practices. So in this way, the transformation really takes place.
What did you do? 따지네. 따 대달. 싫어도 남지기 싫어. 그게다 짜라셔야 승리. 개시 뭐 이런 것도 자네. 미루든지. 따 나가서 처리 아래. 미루든. 그 다음에 짜라셔야 이거 중심 뭐 아래. 드디어 뭐 이런 자네. 따 신인 때네. 때는 뭐 시도자면 뭐 시아바 사자래야 대하자는 이불라면 좀 꾸어든 이불 시도자면 수시하는 니제 다 대하자는 이불라면 좀 다 가서 그래 그래다지 꾸야래야 땅에 탄저 꺼도 소인 거래 다디 탄저 무슨 탄저 섬 니가 섬 니시셨다.
So what becomes clear is the role of the analytic meditation here. So when we talk about understanding developed on the basis of learning and critical reflection, one needs to use the faculty of intelligence, and therefore human form of existence is really a form of existence that is endowed, equipped with the best faculty of intelligence, and therefore for a Dharma practitioner, having the human existence becomes very important. So in Tsongkhapa's text, he then explains that. Having relied upon a spiritual teacher, then he explains the how to make one's the stages by which one then trains one's mind, and this is divided into two sections. The first is how to motivate oneself into training the mind, and second is the actual training process itself. And in this first section, how to motivate oneself to engage in the Dharma practice, one of the important points that he makes is recognizing the preciousness of human existence. There, first of all, he explains the characteristics of human existence, of leisure and opportunity, and then the fact that this form of human existence has a great purpose, and it's purposeful, and third, that it is rare to find such a human existence in future.
Then you wish to live with Shabalaya Lamji Namshara never give us a new million Zumisha.
So then explaining how to actually make one's human existence meaningful, he explains first a general presentation of the path, and then and then the actual practice of how to make that human existence meaningful.
Yeah. Lamjin
Then in the actual presentation of the general structure of the path, Tsongkhapa explains, introduces the concept of the practices of the persons of three capacities, and identifies, defines, you know, each of them. So, for example, in defining the person of the initial capacity, he cites from Atisha's lamp, where he reads, "Know to be least those persons who diligently strive to attain solely the joys of cyclic existence by any means for their welfare alone." So this gives the definition of what constitutes someone as a person of initial capacity. And here, the primary kind of aim of the practitioner is to really seek happiness in the mundane terms, and then the his or her approach is again kind of influenced by that motivation.
That is, save the life of something. Take the life of that. Consider something. Give it a chance. That save, please, totally.
So, and then in the next Tsongkhapa, citing from Atisha, defines the person of middle capacity, and here he cites the following: those persons are called medium, who stop sinful actions and turn their backs on the joys of cyclic existence and diligently strive just for their own peace. So here the reference is being made to those individuals whose main motivation is to seek freedom from cyclic existence on the basis of a deep sense of disenchantment towards all forms of cyclic existence, joys of cyclic existence. So here the reference to the sinful actions is not to be understood in the conventional sense, but rather it refers to either afflictions in general, or sinful here refers to those activities that lead to birth in cycle of existence. So so these are practitioners who are disenchanted by all forms of joys of cyclic existence, turn their turn away from this, and on that basis diligently strives for their own freedom, peace and tranquility in the sense of freedom from cyclic existence. And these are practitioners are characterized as being of middle capacity.
Tāna shīngi dā, chāngzhō sūtīngi, 다 러버스 무슨 오시를 걸 내면냐면 나는 사실 수준 남들 리고 왔다 사실 수준 걸 남냐면 제야 패진 면도 패진 면도다 어제 간다 아 사실 수준 남들 넘네 드리드 보고네 다 담아 좀 준비하지 기분 좋게 남들 제 다들 기분 좋은 분 남들 랑규도 그 동네지 근시시 동네에 양다서 그 기분 좋은 차이는 없잖아요 랑니기 아니 냠을 빠하네 남게 대두고 심지어 탐지 등에 뒤도 잡아도 전두고 삼배 아니 대다그셔도 남지지 않고 막 전두 얘기 대 기부치 뭐 대대비 남지 주게 탑 아니 구두실 수는 전도 전주고 삼다 아 아니 대다그 심지 친주고 있다 바로 심지 친주고 있다 냠네 뒤도 잡아 냠네 지하디 아니 기부치 뭐 쉬고
있는 So in this middle practitioners of medium capacity, the main practices on the path that they will engage in will be the three higher trainings, and also in the particularly in the context of the higher training and wisdom, the 37 aspect of the path to enlightenment also falls within that category. So these are the main practices they will engage in to bring about the realization of their aim, which is the freedom from cyclic existence for their own sake, that peace and tranquility. And then next, Tsongkhapa defines the person of great capacity, and here he cites from the lamp, and it reads, those persons are called superior who sincerely want to extinguish all the sufferings of others by understanding their own suffering. So here, Atisha is explaining that those practitioners who on the basis of their own experience of suffering and extends that to all other beings and come to recognize the need to bring about the end of suffering of all beings. And on that basis, they develop an aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. And from that motivation, engages in the practices such as cultivation of the ultimate awakening mind, a conventional awakening mind, and the six perfections, and so on. And these practices, therefore, are part of the practices relevant to the practitioner of great capacity.
Shiryu jan bangbe ngeli tadu nangi jaya koma da dindrubji ki gibushimila. Rwa da di dukshuwa sohomira. Da di ngeji seya ngani shewe yina da kakshuwa ni sohore da kanda zi midinshu bwana chani shewe yina zawa sangyebe chwe di tabadubya chwe shewe. Chaswa taki tana labzo di. Da ngeli Rīpa thāngu dē ngā lā thāpa tūpa lā kērī chēngi nyūmōng chē nyūmōng nyāmbu tēn tēn kōng lā ngā lā nyūmōng bē wāng kī tēn bē nyēshū tōmyā dī kīpūshūng chē chē tā mīgīchū bōyā dī kīpūshūng chē chē tā tēne mīgīchū tā dī shēnā nē bē rāng shī tī pēchē tā tōgō shēdāng kī nyāmbu tēn yā sō chē kū tōgā So, the other day,
practices that are relevant to the persons of these three capacities can be viewed from the point of view of their aims, the teachings related to the initial capacity, the aim is to attain a fortunate rebirth, and the aim of the practices of medium capacity is to bring about the realization of liberation from samsara, which is part of definite goodness, and the aim of the practices and teachings of the great capacity is to bring about the attainment of Buddha's omniscient state. And and also, as explained before, although when we talk about Buddha Dharma or Buddhist spirituality, it has to be defined in terms of whether or not it contributes towards the attainment of liberation. So we explained how the attainment of liberation defines the Buddha Dharma. And however, when it comes to actual practice, one must proceed in a gradual manner, in a proper sequence. So although the aim is to attain liberation, on the first stage, as Aryadeva points out in the 400 stanzas, on the first level, one must avert from the demeritorious actions. So here, before one can actually counter the afflictions, one needs to first of all tackle the behavioral expressions or manifestations of these afflictions. So these would be the negative and destructive actions of body, speech, and mind that one engages in, and as presented in the morality of abstaining from the 10 negative actions. And if you look at the principle behind the formulation of the ethics of morality of the 10, abstaining from 10 negative actions, the main point there, at least in the Buddhist ethics, is dealing with the consequences of anger and hatred. So, and therefore, avoidance of harming others, causing harm on others, is the key principle there. And so at this level, the practitioner is trying to not directly challenge the afflictions themselves, but rather deal with the behavioral expressions, manifestations of these afflictions. And so this is the level of the initial capacity. And then at the second level, as Aryadeva's text points out, in the middle, one needs to cease grasping at self. So here, it is the afflictions themselves that are being targeted and directly targeted and eliminated. And then the third level, which Aryadeva points out, finally, one must bring about end to all distorted views. So here, this relates to the practices of the great capacity, where not only the afflictions themselves, but even the propensities created by these afflictions and the imprints are also being removed. So you can relate the three practices of the three capacities in those manners as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tata dar ta ki musungi lamdi di ora ngamangame shichenim ni chimachima digale nebe jam ni ra cha de are de ki musungi lam thorne ki musungi lam ni cha ji myo re kore ki musungi ni ra choga de de ba tang ko sha de gare so no chendim na shin pa ya che chendim na shin do ba ko ne ani 치면 나신 다야디 이만이 버티셔 에 티니고 거네 에네 어 랑니게 다 타바 터느냐 로직 레 에 가사주디 타바 마토나 레닌지 샹한 정도 예바디 동예베 정신이 버지 야오 삼인주자네 다디 셴디도 파 카페니 근데 니지고 배야들레
So if you look at the teachings and practices of the three capacities, the sequence of the order is really definite, because one cannot jump on to the practices of the middle capacity and great capacity without laying the foundation of the initial capacity. So and also, if you look at it, what is happening in the context of these three practices is that by engaging in the practices that are relevant to the initial capacity, the practitioner learns to turn away from obsessive concerns about this life and moves more towards the concerns of the future life. So that turning occurs on the basis of the practices of the initial capacity. And then on the next level, by reflecting deeply upon the nature of suffering in samsara, then the person is also able to turn away from attachment and preoccupations to the concerns of next life as well. So then on the basis of these two, turning away from preoccupations, excessive preoccupations of the concerns of this life and the future life, one then is able to develop a deep sense of disenchantment towards cyclic existence as a whole and develop a genuine yearning or aspiration to gain freedom, and also understand the need for freedom. So once you have gained that, and when you then shift the focus and extend that same awareness and realization onto other sentient beings, then compassion arises, and then it takes you to the next level, which is the practices of the great capacity. So even in terms of the way in which our mind progresses in terms of the stages of transformation, the order of the sequence is kind of determined.
Yeah. Lamrin kabliya, ane loram di thasum la penshawa sen, sone, ta losero chipe kaso ta lo, ta jibu chungu losu, zangki tishati, kora ane, ngondo tandu nyewe, tenyi ki samba jeba ta chel, ta ngondo tenyi sayada dirisha, yang zoti, dungye ji dungye, え、だ、かそれ、とめじとめ、だべ、なぞろ、した、ちんぼよてんげ、げんじゅとめ、れ、たんでろ。とね、げんじゅとめ、れ、たよ、だ、もんとつるしゃ。だんで、かそれ、とめじとめ、よんとしべ、てんばしそ、しゃべいな。え、とめじとめ、とめでばしゃ。てるじ、え、そなまいべれて、ぐじゅてばしゃ。 수나마이 먼저
So, in the Lamrim literature, sometimes the phrase is used that one of the qualities of the Lamrim teachings is that it is beneficial and effective with respect to practitioners of any level of mental capacity. And the point here is that depending upon what is your kind of, you know, mental inclination and primary spiritual motivation, depending upon that, one can find the practices that are appropriate for the fulfillment of that aspiration in the Lamrim teachings. For example, if the practitioner is that of initial capacity, where the primary aspiration of the practitioner is to gain freedom from potential suffering in an unfortunate realm of existence in next life, then within that context, that practitioner can relate to the Dharma from within the framework of, in fact, the Four Noble Truths. So here, the suffering that needs to be identified is the evident suffering, particularly of an intense form, and that are found in the unfortunate realms of existence. And then the origin of suffering here would be the negative actions that one would commit that involve inflicting harm upon others. So that would be the karmic action. And then the afflictions would be not the three poisons in general, but rather the most specific forms of them, the covetousness, harmful intention, and wrong views. And so these will be the kind of the equivalent of the afflictions. So, and then the path, the equivalent of the path would be the adopting of the morality, abstaining from the 10 negative actions would be the path. And the cessation would be the temporary freedom that one will gain as a result of attaining a favorable rebirth. So you can see within that context, all the Four Noble Truths can be present. And in fact, the aspiration is to seek freedom from negative, unfortunate, you know, rebirth. Therefore, that is the aspiration. And all the practices and conditions that are necessary for the realization of that aim are all fully presented in the context of the teachings on the initial capacity. So, so in the Lamrim text approach, so after explaining the sufferings of the lower realms of existence, then the actual practices are presented in terms of taking refuge in the three jewels, and from whom you seek free, refuge from the unfortunate rebirth. And then the actual, on that basis, one engages upon the practices of following the law of karma. So here you have all the practices complete. However, there are other alternative presentations where the elements of the practices are sequenced slightly different, well, sparsed, divided slightly differently. For example, in the approach of turning away from false attitudes, for example, in Tsongkhapa's three principal elements of the path, recognition of the preciousness of human existence and awareness of its transient nature, impermanence, are related to the practices of initial capacity. And then contemplation of the law of karma and reflection upon the sufferings of the lower realms are actually included in the practices of the middling capacity, where these are used as a basis for developing a deep sense of disillusionment towards samsaric existence and cultivating true renunciation. So sometimes different approaches tend to divide the elements of the teachings slightly differently, but in Lamrim, in this text, all of these are brought into the practices of the initial capacity, so there is a total, there is a completeness to the entire practices.
No, yeah, ta. Thank you, Mundo. Da. Da, you should know the Chogotelia. Any? Jibushung Sabachong, Sabati gave a set of Lodo Sell. Da, da, Mulla. Jidishimotin, your logic, Jidishimotin, Tup Temple, Sin. Da, Chimotin, you look at that, Telia. Any? Meta was on that day. Meta wa. 좀 된대 얘기했다. 댄스 선배 그 노래야. 담바시르리아 캐주시르시르체니 캐주시르루시르 미다수주루 사이다 디리 다음은 신기 다가다가 살게 신하라 미지든지 미다고 사실은 동어 전주시 동시다고 양란들을 시워시 송시하게 미지든지 미다고 사이다 디 미다고다 안다다 대시수비 그쪽에 미다고디 미다고 참지 안다 그래서 다 sendeng somra sendeng ge da gyeo lambe ju to ya de chuo che gyeo gyeon ji che ga ru ya de chuo che ni da chuo me da wa sa de so yin ba re da da mi se ju ya se mo da da me da wa kom na ka da teng zi ge lo de ya ni ko su su du ya re teng zi ge lo de ni ma mong ji le mo da
so Then, in explaining the actual way to take full advantage of life of leisure and opportunity, then Tsongkhapa explained this in terms of training the mind in the stages of path shared with a person of small capacity. And the first of this is developing a state of mind that strives diligently for the sake of future lives. And it is in this context the meditation on cultivating awareness of impermanence and death is presented. And the teaching on impermanence is a very important teaching of the Buddha. For example, if you look at the public sermon on the Four Noble Truths, impermanence is one of the characteristics of suffering. And in fact, the presentation of the Four Noble Truths is done with each Noble Truth with four characteristics. So altogether, there are 16 characteristics that explain the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. And among the four characteristics of the suffering, the first is impermanence. And similarly, in the Buddhist tradition, we speak of four seals of Buddhism, that all conditioned phenomena are impermanent, all contaminated phenomena are in the nature of suffering, all phenomena are emptiness and devoid of selfhood, and nirvana is true peace. So these are the four seals. Again here, the first one is the fact of impermanence of all conditioned phenomena. So in these teachings, such as the Four Noble Truths and the Four Seals, when the Buddha is teaching impermanence, of course the main understanding of impermanence is a subtle level of impermanence. In the context of the practices of initial capacity, the understanding of impermanence is not really at that subtle level, but more at a evident, grosser level, where we understand impermanence in terms of death or cessation. So, for example, if we take a human existence or a life of a sentient being, then when the continuity of that particular life comes to an end, and that is seen as the impermanent nature of that birth. So awareness of death is the main impermanent understanding that is being cultivated here. And this is also crucial because awareness of death and impermanence is what is going to counter our habitual tendency to grasp at permanence of our own existence. And it is this kind of grasping at permanence of our own existence which often leads to all forms of trouble.
Well, that's it. 진주르르르르르 치워졌습니다. 아니 치네 아니 지라기보다 로아지트로 삼아서 자티체 전에도 미라고 삼았다 아니 르르르 삼았지 자티체 단 지대심을 때 텁담아 사자라 다 좋은 렌저지 말이 다 렌저기 규전제를 Tidri mai tu sana, tidri betang. Tiap mana, miki cupong le cutim. Ini sanjaya bercucu, doa liha, tak jambut sendiri ni. Yang macam mana? Saya miki cupong cutim, cuci le cuci le curu le, ini apa? Saya tidri sesa, tak tidri tu sana. Tahu? Jadi semua tu terjah bahasa adalah, ini tebalan juga kau tak boleh jangkut jauh. Jadi sebab itu jauh, lain lagi jadi tebal jauh. Tapi ini betul.
So then, having cultivated the awareness of death and impermanence, one then reflects upon the suffering of the lower realms, and then when explaining on that basis the actual method by which one brings about the fulfillment of the aspiration. Then this is explained in terms of two practices. One is first establishing the basis by taking refuge in the three jewels, and then on that basis one learns to live according to the laws of karma. And the reason why the taking refuge in the three jewels is explained is that generally speaking, observance of morality, of abstaining from 10 negative actions in themselves, there's nothing uniquely about Buddhist. So in order for these practices of morality to become a Buddhist practice, they need to be grounded upon taking refuge in the three jewels. And when it comes to the specific aspects of the workings of karma, at this initial level, and also some aspect of the workings of karma at this point, then faith becomes an important factor to develop the conviction in them.
No, yeah. That jamdoli ya, kala jadi jossundu ju, jala jadi jossundu yu, chida jossun, su jossun, labja jossun, payun shen. That diri sungi hari.
And then in the section dealing with taking refuge in the three jewels, Tsongkhapa explains this in terms of identifying what kind of conditions are necessary on the part of the person who is seeking refuge, and who are, what are the objects that are worthy of being refuge, and the manner in which one must seek refuge in them, and then what are the precepts that one must observe as a result of taking refuge. And then, what are the benefits of taking refuge?
Tadi, lembrum kau liat, jamu sonya di, pada nampak sisa caca, sonya sisa, saya kusung tu yang dia sonya dah tu je sonya. Tadi jamu yang wujud sam damai na. Namri liwini be nangi, ane tabu tu biada. Jadi tu ane samus tangku ya, desha. Tapi zau zau de, cekun jo, gualam ni tu biade, tapi zau le. So tapi gualam ni tu biagi, se nangaru be, tar tu indu zane, zau siru kunja ba. Pada dah tu be, cikse nangi ya, ane tapi gomulu juga ada. Rajin 다 런신이 무조건 캐랑해지 런신이 떠나 아니 균제 자체 태기면도 쓴다 태기한테 주어를 대야 되리 아 다 대려야 고불루루기 따다바 돈이 아니 돈이 마차나 땡중 태기 말해 땡중 마차나 다 돈이 세한데 원이 주변에 떠왔을 거를 봐도 가야만 이렇게 좀 말해 돈번이 세한데 我要准备当一个学员的，我要准备当一个这些的，我带着这帮人去玩银行，带着这帮银行，
So when presenting the practices of going for refuge in this Lamrim text, the presentation is made in such a way that it takes for granted that the practitioner is already a Buddhist. However, if you look at other approaches, such as in the second chapter of Dharmakirti's Pramanavatika, exposition of the valid cognition, and also where Dharmakirti presents a series of reasoning that establishes the possibility of attaining liberation. Similarly, in Chandrakirti's commentary on the 24th chapter of Nagarjuna's text, Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, there is a very clear and important explanation which is relevant here, because, for example, in the 24th chapter, Nagarjuna raises all the potential objections from the Buddhist realist or Buddhist essentialist, where the question is raised, as we had one of the questions earlier, that if everything is devoid of inherent existence, then cause and effect relationships will not be possible. In that case, then the Dharma becomes untenable, and if the Dharma becomes untenable, there cannot be Sangha, and therefore there cannot be Buddha. And therefore the three jewels become untenable, and if the three jewels become untenable, then the Four Noble Truths become untenable. So the whole edifice of cause and effect relations break down. So in response to this, Nagarjuna actually turns the table to the opponent and says that in fact, you know, within the world view where one presupposes inherent existence, in fact the causal relation become impossible, because if emptiness is not tenable, then dependent origination becomes untenable, and if dependent origination becomes untenable, then cessation and the path leading to the cessation, all of these will become untenable, because when we speak of emptiness, we're not talking about mere nothingness or non-existence, but rather we are talking about emptiness of existence by means of inherent nature, existence by means of self-defining nature. So if emptiness becomes untenable, then there is no possibility of dependent relations being upheld. And if that is not possible, then the whole cessation and the path and the everything falls down. So in Chandrakirti's commentary, the kind of the exposition of these series of argument and the line of thinking is most excellently described. So for someone who takes refuge in the three jewels, understanding at least some aspects of these explanation may be very helpful. So, and this will come later on, so we can discuss. So, and this relates to the question we had earlier. if there is no inherently existing self, what transmigrates? And so this is relates to this question. And part of the problem is coming from the fact of not fully understanding the meaning of no self, the teaching of no self. And when Buddha speaks about there being no self, he is not rejecting the existence of a self of the person. There is a person who accumulates the action, there is a person who experiences the consequences of that action. What is being rejected is that if we analyze the nature of ourself, although in reality the self or the person exists in dependence upon the physical and the mental elements that make up the individual's existence, but in our naive perception of ourself, we tend to kind of assume a self that is somehow a kind of a master that reigns over, that rules over our body and mind, and somehow that is independent of them. So that it is that kind of self that we assume to exist that is being negated. So generally when Buddhism says there is no self, it is this kind of conceived self, that is a conception of self that is being rejected. So in particular, when the teaching on emptiness is presented on the basis of using dependent origination, the fact that things come into being on the in dependence upon other factors, if things are dependently designated, the fact that these are used as the kind of the basis to demonstrate the emptiness of phenomena itself suggests some form of existence that is being recognized. So what is required on the part of the practitioner when taking refuge in the three jewels is first of all to have some understanding of the possibility of cessation in general, and particularly the possibility of cessation in oneself. So here, When we talk about cessation in the Buddhist context, we are talking about the possibility of all the pollutants of the mind, the afflictions, being dissolved and cleansed within the nature of mind itself. So in order to understand the nature of cessation, some degree of understanding of emptiness becomes indispensable. And so furthermore, when we talk about the origin of suffering, the afflictions, particularly if one's understanding of afflictions is deep, then one needs to understand affliction at its root, which is the fundamental ignorance. And as I explained before, depending upon what your understanding of the ultimate view of reality is, it's going to have a difference upon how you define the fundamental ignorance to be. So in any case, to have a deeper understanding of the subtle level of ignorance, again, some understanding of the way in which things really exist, which is the nature of reality, becomes again essential. Similarly, when we talk about suffering, the suffering and its very subtle level, again, to have that understanding, understanding of emptiness, and becomes important. So, therefore, to really take refuge in the three jewels, in the most ideal manner, some degree of understanding of emptiness becomes very important.
대신도 부담 샹남과 차미 시산에 부다 사데 레자 게디 콜리아 겨 상바다 아지 로드 게바 는 중요해 아주 배가 나와 아니 레자 부다 사 코니가 나 배가 지나 봐 니가 창전에 창축 신다야 다는 시그 상게 사 아다 측디기 부대 니가 왔다 찬데시 송도가 찾아갔다 아 나는 사 르부사제 살다 니가 뒤념을 주지 나는 빵과 타다 잡아서 니도 시작사 토스 추는 자 뒤지도 용대하지 그지 레디네 코라 니알라 축 사게 시작사 토스 추는 시 용알라 디 로이 때문에 시제 시에베 시제 지기하기 그게 누어로 싸워지 있고 그걸 두고야 매매서 있으리 그러나 시제 찾아 찍은 얘기에 이 반 때나 펌니 이를 치고 있고네 시제 시에베 계속 계속 누가 그 시제 여행을 하다 지대신이 시제 여행을 채 다 로 그런 게 지대신이 시제 지기하기 누어디 여행을 채 다 누버디 여르데 누버디 세모토베 개진지 그게 주지지 예외적인 달라 유디 리모토셰 개진지 세 테만 다들은 유지를 해야지 그 이구도와 뒤님도 줘야지 그래서 리미도 자네 창세야 되냐 하는 것이나 출용통도 그래서 출창세야 되지 창출세 개 상스말로 되지 상개 쓰려야 다시 들으셔 그래서 어디 들으지 창출도 상개세야 고야우 차가래야 Chima chiki su taya Chima didi Yani chunyi la Marigwe chani chunyi marigwa Te kona ni rig marig nigi chani Kwanda ni siya didi Kwa di lekwa chirirwa Hati nirisha Wati nirin nisa ni Gyangru yaku chungwa liya Tong ni kwa di Bekya chimurisha Hati nirisha
So for example when we Go for refuge to the Buddha And say Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, I go for refuge to the Buddha. The Sanskrit term Buddha has two different connotations. One is Buddha can mean cleansing of the faults or pollutants, but it can also mean flourishing or development. So such as blossoming of the petals of the lotus is referred to as Buddha. However, in the Tibetan equivalent of the term, both these two aspects of the meaning are brought together and a composite term is created, that is sangye. And sangye, sangba means to be awakened or to cleanse, and geba means to develop, to blossom, and or to flourish. So both of these meanings are brought together. Similarly, the Sanskrit term for bodhi, in Tibetan, changchub is used, where again both meanings of the term are brought into a single composite term. And although at the level of Buddhahood, total cleansing of all the faults and total perfection of all the qualities may be simultaneous, but in the process, one needs to proceed by eliminating the obscurations first. So because when it comes to the Buddha's enlightened qualities of the mind, insofar as the cognition of the reality is concerned, that quality is naturally present in our mind. It's not a new quality that needs to be cultivated afresh. The process primarily involves removing the obstacles that obscure the expression of that natural cognitive quality. And so long as the obstacles are present, they obscure, and then this quality, natural quality, doesn't become awakened. So therefore, in the Tibetan word, sang is put first, and geba, the development of perfection, comes later. So the main point is that to really understand the significance and meaning of going for refuge, one needs to have some understanding of the object of refuge, and here too, some degree of understanding of the teaching on emptiness again becomes important, because one needs to understand what is meant by Buddhahood and how Buddhahood is defined in terms of cleansing and dissolving of all the pollutants within the nature of mind itself, and how enlightenment and unenlightenment are defined in terms of the state of mind itself, whether it remains in ignorance or whether it becomes awakened. So this is what defines samsara and nirvana, enlightenment and unenlightened state. So therefore, even to understand the concept of buddhi or enlightenment, some understanding of the teaching on emptiness becomes crucial.
Dhammam sanam gacchami sisane dharamesha dharmasrati zimba gyoba. Chesanga gyoba ngodi gokde. Gyobchi di lamde. Yan dungi gaksam gokdwa.
So similarly, when we say dharmam sharanam gacchami, I go for refuge to the dharma, the Sanskrit term dharma has the connotation of something that holds you or something that protects you. So again here, in order to fully understand the significance of these terms, some understanding of emptiness becomes crucial as well.
Deshindu sangam sanam gacchami sisane gyawa dumba.
Similarly, when we take refuge in the Sangha, Sangam Sharanam Gacchami, and Sangha literally means those who aspire for goodness. And goodness here is identified with the cessation. So again, to understand the meaning of Sangha, some notion of understanding of cessation and emptiness becomes important. Mm-hmm.
That's the way of the world of the land, law of causality. That's the land of the student review, danger to ship yard. That student review, danger to not a cheddar, let's not be charred. Charles to be chevabuji. Sunday, Gunu Tony, to share the charge in money, to chevabuji. I didn't do it to chevabu. Gunung. That 자자가 다 시베 때문에 레 사지 샤유 그래서 다 샤유야래 심주 사바사디 가네 다 샤마다 원태류로 레 숙진 샤야래 르마르레 숙진글레 되네 일레 삼벨레 일레 되르샤
So preceded by taking refuge in the three jewels, one then needs to understand the law of karma, causality. So when we talk about law of karma, we are talking about, in general, the law of causality itself. And the law of, within the so karma is a subset of the law of causality. So karma refers to a very specific kind of causal relation where because when we talk, use the word karma, karma means literally means action. And when we talk about action, we are talking about an activity involving an agent with an intention. So karmic law refers to a causal process that is begun by an agent with intention, and that intentional act creates a chain, resulting with its consequences. So this law of causality is referred to as karmic law of causality. So when we talk about karma, principally here we are talking about causal events that are related to a sentient being's experience of pain and pleasure, happiness and suffering. So when we are talking about experiences, we are talking about a mental phenomena, and therefore when we talk about the events at the mental level, then their causes must also principally belong to that category of phenomena as well. Therefore when we talk about karma, we are principally referring to one of the mental factors that are present in the state of mind of the person. So within the Buddhist schools, Vaibhashika and Prasangika sometimes also include physical actions as belonging to the karma, but generally other schools identify karma principally with a mental factor.
Yeah. So now 4:17. Okay, finish now. Stop.